This is the reading for March 14. Psalm 73. God is truly good to Israel, to those who have pure hearts. But I had almost stopped believing. I had almost lost my faith because I was jealous of proud people. I saw wicked people doing well. They are not suffering. They are healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like the rest of us. They don't have problems like other people. They wear pride like a necklace and put on violence as their clothing. They are looking for profits and do not control their selfish desires. They make fun of others and speak evil. Proudly they speak of hurting others. They brag to the sky. They say that they own the earth, so their people turn to them and give them whatever they want. They say, "How can God know? What does God Most High know? These people are wicked, always at ease and getting richer. So why have I kept my heart pure? Why have I kept my hands from doing wrong? I have suffered all day long. I have been punished every morning. God, if I had decided to talk like this, I would have let your people down. I tried to understand all this, but it was too hard for me to see until I went to the temple of God. Then I understood what will happen to them. You have put them in danger. You caused them to be destroyed. They are destroyed in a moment. They are swept away by terrors. It will be like waking from a dream. Lord, when you rise up, they will disappear. When my heart was sad and I was angry, I was senseless and stupid. I acted like an animal toward you. But I am always with you. You have held my hand. You guide me with your advice, and later you will receive me in honor. I have no one in heaven but you. I want nothing on earth besides you. My body and my mind may become weak, but God is my strength. He is mine forever. Those who are far from God will die. You destroy those who are unfaithful, but I am close to God, and that is good. The Lord God is my protection. I will tell all that you have done." Numbers chapter 27. Then the daughters of Zelophehad came near. Zelophehad was the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh. Zelophehad's daughters belonged to the family groups of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The daughters' names were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They went to the entrance of the meeting tent and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and all the people. They said, "Our father died in the desert. He was not one of Korah's followers, who came together against the Lord, but he died because of his own sin, and he had no sons. Our father's name will die out because he had no sons. Give us property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought their case to the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right. They should certainly get what their father owned. Give them property among their father's relatives. Tell the Israelites, if a man dies and has no son, then everything he owned should go to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then everything he owned should go to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then everything he owned should go to his father's brothers. And if his father had no brothers, then everything he owned should go to the nearest relative in his family group. This should be a rule among the people of Israel, as the Lord has given this command to Moses." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Climb this mountain in the Abarim Mountains and look at the land I have given to the Israelites. After you have seen it, you will die and join your ancestors as your brother Aaron did, because you both acted against my command in the desert of Zin. You did not honor me as holy before the people at the waters of Meribah." This was at Meribah in Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, "The Lord is the God of the spirits of all people. May he choose a leader for these people who will go in and out before them. He must lead them like sheep and bring them in. The Lord's people must not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, because my spirit is in him. Put your hand on him and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the people. Then give him his orders as they watch. Let him share your honor so that all the Israelites will obey him. He must stand before Eleazar the priest, and Eleazar will get advice from the Lord by using the Urim. At his command, all the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will all come in." Moses did what the Lord told him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the people, and he put his hands on him and gave him orders, just as the Lord had told him. Numbers 28. The Lord said to Moses, "Give this command to the Israelites. Tell them, Bring me food offerings made by fire for a smell that is pleasing to me, and be sure to bring them at the right time. Say to them, these are the offerings you must bring to the Lord. 2 male lambs, a year old, as a burnt offering each day. They must have nothing wrong with them. Offer one lamb in the morning and the other lamb at twilight. Also bring a grain offering of 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with 1 quart of oil from pressed olives. This is the daily burnt offering which began at Mount Sinai. Its smell is pleasing to the Lord. Offer 1 quart of wine with each lamb as a drink offering. Pour it out to the Lord at the holy place. Offer the second lamb at twilight, as in the morning. Also give a grain offering and a drink offering. This offering is made by fire, and its smell is pleasing to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, you must give 2 male lambs, a year old, that have nothing wrong with them. Also give a drink offering and a grain offering. The grain offering must be 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with olive oil. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, in addition to the daily burnt offering and drink offering. On the first day of each month, bring a burnt offering to the Lord. This will be 2 young bulls, 1 male sheep, and 7 male lambs, a year old, and they must have nothing wrong with them. Give a grain offering with each bull of 6 quarts of fine flour mixed with olive oil. Also give a grain offering with the male sheep. It must be 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with olive oil. And give a grain offering with each lamb of 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with olive oil. This is a burnt offering, and its smell is pleasing to the Lord. The drink offering with each bull will be 2 quarts of wine. With the male sheep, it will be 1 1/3 quarts, and with each lamb, it will be 1 quart of wine. This is the burnt offering that must be offered each month of the year. Besides the daily burnt offerings and drink offerings, bring a sin offering of 1 goat to the Lord. The Lord's Passover will be on the 14th day of the first month. The Feast of Unleavened Bread begins on the 15th day of that month. For 7 days, you may eat only bread made without yeast. Have a holy meeting on the first day of the festival and don't work that day. Bring to the Lord an offering made by fire, a burnt offering of 2 young bulls, 1 male sheep, and 7 male lambs, a year old. They must have nothing wrong with them. With each bull, give a grain offering of 6 quarts of fine flour mixed with olive oil. With the male sheep, it must be 4 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil. With each of the 7 lambs, it must be 2 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil. Bring 1 goat as a sin offering to remove your sins so you will belong to God. Bring these offerings in addition to the burnt offerings you give every morning. So bring food for the offering made by fire each day for 7 days for a smell that is pleasing to the Lord. Do it in addition to the daily burnt offering and its drink offering. On the 7th day, have a holy meeting and don't work that day. On the day of first fruits, when you bring new grain to the Lord during the Feast of Weeks, have a holy meeting. Don't work that day. Bring this burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 male sheep, and 7 male lambs a year old. This smell is pleasing to the Lord. Also, with each bull, give a grain offering of 6 quarts of fine flour mixed with oil. With the male sheep, it must be 4 quarts of flour, and with each of the 7 lambs, offer 2 quarts of flour. Offer 1 male goat to remove your sins so you will belong to God. Bring these offerings and their drink offerings in addition to the daily burnt offering and its grain offering. The animals must have nothing wrong with them.
Chapter 14.
It was 2 days before the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for some underhanded way to arrest Jesus and to kill him. However, they said, "We shouldn't arrest him during the festival, or else there will be a riot among the people." Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had suffered from a skin disease. While Jesus was sitting there, a woman went to him. She had a bottle of very expensive perfume made from pure nard. She opened the bottle and poured the perfume on his head. Some who were there were irritated and said to one another, "Why was the perfume wasted like this? This perfume could have been sold for a high price, and the money could have been given to the poor." So they said some very unkind things to her. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. You will always have the poor with you and can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me with you." She did what she could. She came to pour perfume on my body before it is placed in a tomb. I can guarantee this truth. Wherever the good news is spoken in the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 apostles, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus. They were pleased to hear what Judas had to say and promised to give him money. So he kept looking for a chance to betray Jesus. Killing the Passover lamb was customary on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread. The disciples asked Jesus, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you?" He sent two of his disciples and told them, "Go into the city. You will meet a man carrying a jug of water. Follow him. When he goes into a house, tell the owner that the teacher asks, 'Where is my room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs and show you a large room. The room will be completely furnished. Get everything ready for us there." The disciples left. They went into the city and found everything as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12 apostles. While they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I can guarantee this truth. One of you is going to betray me, one who is eating with me." Feeling hurt, they asked him one by one, "You don't mean me, do you?" He said to them, "It's one of you 12, someone dipping his hand into the bowl with me. The Son of Man is going to die as the scriptures say he will. But how horrible it will be for that person who betrays the Son of Man. It would have been better for that person if he had never been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took a cup, spoke a prayer of thanksgiving, and gave the cup to them. They all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the promise. It is poured out for many people. I can guarantee this truth. I won't drink this wine again until that day when I drink new wine in the kingdom of God." After they sang a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will abandon me. Scripture says, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am brought back to life, I will go to Galilee ahead of you." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else abandons you, I won't." Jesus said to Peter, "I can guarantee this truth. Tonight, before a rooster crows twice, you will say three times that you don't know me." But Peter said very strongly, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never say that I don't know you." All the other disciples said the same thing. Then they came to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, "Stay here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him and began to feel distressed and anguished. He said to them, "My anguish is so great that I feel as if I'm dying. Wait here and stay awake." After walking a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. He said, "Abba, Father, you can do anything. Take this cup of suffering away from me, but let your will be done rather than mine." He went back and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you won't be tempted. You want to do what's right, but you're weak." He went away again and prayed the same prayer as before. He found them asleep because they couldn't keep their eyes open. They didn't even know what they should say to him. He came back a third time and said to them, "You might as well sleep now. It's all over. The time has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let's go. The one who is betraying me is near." Just then, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12 apostles, arrived. A crowd carrying swords and clubs was with him. They were from the chief priests, scribes, and the leaders of the people. Now the traitor had given them a signal. He said, "The one I kiss is the man you want. Arrest him and guard him closely as you take him away." Then Judas quickly stepped up to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Some men took hold of Jesus and arrested him. One of those standing there pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the chief priest's servant. Jesus asked them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as if I were a criminal? I used to teach in the temple courtyard every day, but you didn't arrest me then. But what the scriptures say must come true." Then all the disciples abandoned him and ran away. A certain young man was following Jesus. He had nothing on but a linen sheet. They tried to arrest him, but he left the linen sheet behind and ran away naked. The men took Jesus to the chief priest. All the chief priests, leaders, and scribes had gathered together. Peter followed him at a distance and went into the chief priest's courtyard. He sat with the guards and warmed himself facing the glow of a fire. The chief priests and the whole Jewish council were searching for some testimony against Jesus in order to execute him, but they couldn't find any. Many gave false testimony against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some men stood up and gave false testimony against him. They said, "We heard him say, 'I'll tear down this temple made by humans, and in 3 days I'll build another temple, one not made by human hands.'" But their testimony did not agree even on this point. So the chief priest stood up in the center and asked Jesus, "Don't you have any answer to what these men testify against you?" But he was silent. The chief priest asked him again, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus answered, "Yes, I am. And you will see the Son of Man in the highest position in heaven. He will be coming with the clouds of heaven." The chief priest tore his clothes in horror and said, "Why do we need any more witnesses? You've heard him dishonor God. What's your verdict?" All of them condemned him with the death sentence. Some of them began to spit on him. They covered his face and hit him with their fists. They said to him, "Prophesy." Even the guards took him and slapped him. Peter was in the courtyard. One of the chief priest's female servants saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him and said, "You too were with Jesus from Nazareth." But Peter denied it by saying, "I don't know him, and I don't understand what you're talking about." He went to the entrance. Then a rooster crowed. The servants saw him. Once again, she said to those who were standing around, "This man is one of them." Peter again denied it. After a little while, the men standing there said to Peter again, "It's obvious you're one of them. You're a Galilean." Then Peter began to curse and swear with an oath, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Just then a rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered that Jesus said to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will say three times that you don't know me." Then Peter began to cry very hard.